Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground's Clambake Beach Party End of the World O-Rama. So welcome.
That's right. For the last time, if you can hear our voices for the last time, we should add, hey everybody, welcome to the underground and our big end of the world party. Are you guys all ready for the apocalypse?
Yep, I'm ready to die.
I am. I'm ready to die.
Yep. To quote, Lieutenant Worf, today is a good day to die.
Today is a good day to die. So who is our final guest on this final end of the world show that we've got going on, Rick?
Well, we are going to have Chuck Gotsky, the founder, lead investigator of In the Dark Investigations, as well as a fellow Chicagoan. So, you know, be prepared to hear Go Bears all night long.
Good conversation for the end of the world. That's all I can say. So
that's right.
I have my top 10 list.
Okay.
Are you ready for it? It's in honor of our end of the world party, and it is the top 10 signs that the world is indeed going to end.
Okay.
Ready? Number 10, Honey Boo Boo Child. Number 9, it's Jersey Shore's last season.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Kesha. Number 7, and this is from my son, Justin Bieber's Baby is not the number 1 YouTube song anymore. I have no idea what I just said.
I don't even know what a Bieber is.
The number 6 sign that the world is certainly ending is the Nissan Cube. The number 5.
I like the Nissan Cube. I kind of do.
The number 5 is that the Twilight series has finally come to an end.
Oh, thank God.
Well, yeah, but...
No more glittery vampires and dirty hair.
It's the seal of the apocalypse.
I think so.
Okay, the number 4 sign the world is ending. This is a big one. 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm. Hey, did you see that video that George Takei posted on his Facebook page? It was called 50 Shades of Takei.
Yes, that was great. okay, so awesome. Number 3 is actually sort of an all-encompassing one. And mm-hmm. It is the Real Housewives of blank. I think it's a sign of the apocalypse.
Wait, hold on a second. It's the Real Housewives of blank. They just haven't determined a city or what?
No. The Real Housewives shows are a sign that the world is
going to end. Okay, all right.
Number 2, the Kardashian girls keep having babies.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely going to bring about the apocalypse.
And this is the number 1 thing for me. Now, I know many of you may disagree, but I have to say that this is my number 1 sign, dubstep.
See, now I'm not going to hide and I'm not going to lie, but I do like trance. I hate techno, and dubstep is like somewhere in between.
I hate dubstep.
Oh God, it's so
awful.
I
hate dubstep.
Awful, awful, awful. Well, I would say that those are definitely 10 signs that will bring about the Mayan world ending temper tantrum. So, yeah, I think we're done.
I think so. I think this is it. And so, clearly, it's already December 21st elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, I think Australia, New Zealand. I mean, you know what? I was kind of hoping the Hobbits would, you know, put a coup together and being led by Peter Jackson and all and just take over Auckland. But New Zealand, Australia, I think Japan is already, China, pretty much all of Southeast Asia is already 21st, So I think we're going to be okay. Unless the Mayans were like incredibly Eurocentric like we are, which I doubt it. I'm sure that they don't have our time zones.
Well, so we have a few time zones left to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see.
Okay.
If I go to sleep and I don't wake up tomorrow, I won't know anyway.
See, now I have to work tonight, so I'm going to be sitting in a chair while a bunch of kids sleep as the world blows up.
Okay, so if you didn't have to work and the world is blowing up, what would you be doing?
Having sex with my wife.
I figured that was where you were going with that. Cheryl, is sex what you would be doing with the world ending?
Cheryl. It'd be up there on the list.
Okay.
She's afraid to say it. Just go ahead.
I'd probably be eating sushi too. Okay, wait. That didn't come out right.
An interesting correlation that did not, between raw fish and
that,
sex.
That did not come out right. All right, I'm going offline. Bye.
Sex and television.
Sex and sushi. Now, see, I think sex would definitely be part, maybe, but I think actually more I would just want to be with my entire family.
Yeah.
Because if I was having sex, then Tanner wouldn't be there. And I would want to be listening to Beethoven's probably Ninth Symphony.
I think the Fifth is a better one to play out for the end of the world, you know?
No, but I'm talking about just, or the Hallelujah Chorus.
Okay. I can do
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful, beautiful piece of music. I mean, right. If I'm going out, I want to go out surrounded by beautiful things.
I want to go out with a bang, man. Just like having, well, banging and then...
you want to go out banging.
As like fireworks just go off and yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We are so going to get kicked off the air. I just know it.
Why? We're just talking about the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to be honest with you. I mean, the first time I heard about this was a couple of years ago. And a Mexican friend of mine who happens to be half Mayan told me that this whole thing has just been a way to sell books and videos and movies and all that to ignorant white New Agers. That's what he said, and I'm quoting him.
Could be.
Yeah. And if you really look at it, because A, they didn't have a leap year. B, they didn't have the Gregorian calendar or whatever the hell calendar we use these days. The world should have ended 7 months ago.
I know. Well, I'm really curious what the guy with the WebBot project is doing tonight. Because, you know, we did a 2012 issue. I'm thinking it was probably about 2 years ago now. And I interviewed the guy who runs the WebBot project. And I'm sorry, his name escapes me right now. But he was just absolutely certain because the WebBot project was, you know what the WebBot project is, right?
Yes, that's the thing okay. That calculates.
It takes keywords on the internet and it accurately predicts the stock market, and it also, he believes, has accurately predicted a number of events such as Hurricane Katrina and the 9/11 attacks and things like that. And so when I interviewed him, he's absolutely certain that the WebBot project is predicting the end of the world for tomorrow and that it's going to happen.
And does the WebBot say what the method of destruction is going to be?
No, because it just uses keywords. I mean, it just picks up keywords. And so, yeah, he was certain we were, this was it. It was over.
Well, of course it's going to pick up the keywords because he's probably going through all the websites that's talking about the end of the world, picking up those keywords. And it's saying, oh yeah, that's it. We're done. We're screwed. So it's, you know, come on. I mean, really, it's just,
hey. I know, I'm right there with you, but I will tell you that when I interviewed him, I mean, he was absolutely sure that we were screwed. And so I'm wondering if he's sort of hunkered down and panicked. I mean, but how many times? Look at Y2K.
Yep.
Now, you know, when we went through Y2K, there were people that were just absolutely in a panic. And it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, here's the one thing that does bother me a little bit, though, is that I always thought that if anything other than cockroaches survived the end of the world, it would be Twinkies.
You know what? I actually heard that that's more of a myth than anything. But, Yeah, it's too bad that the Twinkies are now gone.
Well, you know, I don't know. Tanner had one of his teachers left unwrapped Twinkies out on her counter all school year because she wanted to see what would happen. They did it as an experiment. Nothing happened to those Twinkies.
So, okay, but from what I understand, that the myth is that they're not real food. They're not made of anything, of any kind of organic material whatsoever. So, I mean, if it's made of, like, complete artificial, well, pretty much nothing, then, yeah, I can see it doing that, but it's got that cream in it.
Yeah, it's real cream.
Okay.
You keep thinking that.
You know what, though? I'm not Gordon Ramsay.
I haven't had a Twinkie in years, but yes, Twinkies are—they have a lot of preservatives in them. Let's just say that there's lots and lots and lots of preservatives.
Right. But the preservatives that are going to feed us through the apocalypse?
I don't know. I don't want to survive the apocalypse. I don't want to be here if the world ends. I'm going to go.
So. Maybe at Ground Zero, eh?
If I knew where it was, yes, I would. God, there's this whole thing going on in chat right now. Everybody's talking about whether they'd eat that Twinkie.
Oh, I totally would.
Yeah. You see, that's a guy thing. There's no way. I mean, I wouldn't eat a Twinkie anyway because I think they're disgusting. But
oh, they're so delicious.
Oh, no. They are not good. Twinkie. Oh, Cheryl would eat it.
There you have it.
Chris Davis in chat says that's not cream, Rick, it's whipped dolphin fat. Oh my god. And with that,
it still makes it delicious.
Let's do this. We are going to take a break in our end of the world party, and when we come back we will have our guest with us, so stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at paranormalunderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit paranormalunderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
That went badly.
Oh, by the way, we're on the air.
Okay, so anyways, this is Rick and Karen of Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome back. Tonight, joining us is going to be Chuck Gotsky. He is the founder, lead investigator, and fellow Chicagoan in the dark investigation. So, Chuck Gotsky, go Bears.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, welcome to the show, Chuck. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So, There is a little bit of an issue that you and I that we need to touch on here before we actually get into all the paranormal deliciousness that you brought.
Are you guys going to have like a fight or something?
No.
Chicago-style rumble?
No. Actually, it's an even bigger issue than that. Chuck, about a year ago, my esteemed colleague and lovely and talented Karen Frazier, who's only been to our fair city once, made the wildest, most inane claim I have ever heard anybody outside of Chicago make.
Yes, it is. Would you get over the goddamn pizza thing?
No. Chuck, she claims that she made a Chicago-style pizza for her family.
I did.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I did.
No, she's not kidding you, Chuck. I mean, you know, you can't have Chicago-style pizza unless you're actually enjoying it here in Chicago.
I have enjoyed Chicago-style pizza in Chicago, and it was a reasonable facsimile thereof.
Well, at least you're being honest about the facsimile.
Yeah, that's true. The only time you can have real Chicago pizza is you have to be here in Chicago. That's the only time.
I did have it there, but I made the style of pizza, and it was quite delicious, thank you. And is this the last I'm going to hear about this, Rick, or is this going to come up? Oh, no, it is, because the world's ending.
That, well, you know what? I don't know. And how many times have I had to hear about my, you know, me eating my twin?
Oh, my
Well,
Lord.
You did eat your twin.
Chuck, it's a long story. I can't
say, do I want to know what this is all about? Or?
Well, yes, I'll tell you. I'll tell you real fast what it's about because, you know, I think it's a good story. So, okay. Rick and I were talking one day, and he said something about, you know, oh, well, I was a twin before I was born. And I said, well, did you consume your twin in the womb? And he said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
It's something that really does happen. So
I was being funny, but
he
ate his
superpowers.
And so I made some songs up about it.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Chuck, now that we have the
enough about us, let's talk about you.
Sure, okay.
So Chuck, you know, it's a question that I like to ask everybody who comes on our show, and I think it's a very important question. But okay, what is it, you know, that brought you into this field? And as I tell everybody else, or as I ask everybody else, if you tell me it's because you watch a television show and you on Wednesday night and you wanted to try it out, we do reserve the right to make fun of you.
Okay, I figured maybe you just cut me off and I'd be the end of the show for me, so.
Unless the world ends.
Unless the world ends.
It'll be all right. We'll let you speak.
All right, cool. It all happened when I was a lot younger, in the 70s, because I am an older gentleman. Around 74, 75, my mom, who at the time was about 36, was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Okay.
So she went through a lot of difficult treatments and stuff like that, and then she was brought home for a while, and then, of course, went back to the hospital, and she passed away. A little short time afterwards, my father, of course, was going out and starting dating and stuff like that, and I was home by myself. My other two brothers were not home at the time, and I started hearing, like, walking in my kitchen area. Now, I'll explain. When my mom was sick and it was at home, I'd be up at night kind of hearing them talking and stuff, and she'd be, you know, really sad because she's trying to eat and she's pacing on the floor in the kitchen because it was very painful. So when I was later on hearing these noises of someone pacing in the kitchen, I could hear like footsteps on a tiled floor because that's how our kitchen was. Though I knew I was home alone because, you know, my doors were locked, and I was kind of like, I can hear this walking, and then I hear like moving around, like, you know, dishes and just kind of noises and stuff like that. which was the oddest part, was that because when you go into the kitchen at that time, my father had carpeted the kitchen floor, so it was no longer tiled. So I was totally confused because I'm like, well, I'm hearing walking similar to what I heard when she was alive, and I'm hearing it now, but it can't be because it's carpeted and there's no one in the house. The doors are locked. So that kind of like basically freaked me out as a kid. I was about 15 years old. So, but I got really interested in how is this happening? Because I just knew, I just felt it was her. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but I just started, you know, checking into reading books like Hans Holzer and, you know, the Warrens and all the different kind of things, you know, knowing that what I was reading wasn't, you know, it's 100% gospel, but, you know, just trying to get a grip on maybe what I had experienced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of went with it like that until I got older, to where I could at least, you know, get like a tape recorder and pen and paper and, you know, all that kind of stuff to get out and try to get out there and try to see what I could find by dragging along one of my friends that was into, you know, photography and stuff like that. We're just kind of running around in the dark and trying to, you know, get a grip on, you know, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of got started with it. And it just kind of went from there, you know.
It sort of snowballs once you start, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did, because, you know, for a while, we were just, you know, here's like these two idiot kids running up and down Archer Avenue trying to do Resurrection Cemetery and, you know, stuff like that, you know, and the guy from Chet's Melly Lounge, which is across from the cemetery, came out and saw us and was talking to us. It was really nice. He was giving us some stories and going into that. And then I kind of got away from it for a while because I got into, of course, I had a family with some kids, and then I got into filmmaking. I did that for a while, but I always kind of like had that passion where I had to go back, you know?
Sure.
And so I finally dropped the filmmaking end of it and went back into this field. And since then, I've just been hooked ever since. So.
Yeah, I understand. I'm pretty hooked too. And, you know, it's so funny because you think you have this investigation. You think, okay, here I have the answers, but the next week you're chomping at the bit to go out again, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, there's really, I found that I really don't have any answers, you know. I have more questions than answers.
Nobody
has
any answers.
Exactly, you know what I mean? But I have my own thoughts, just like everybody has their own thoughts and their own theories, and there's about a billion of them out there, and, you know, who's right or who's wrong, and probably when I pass away I'll have that answer, but hopefully maybe before that, but you know, as far as that is, my question is more, I mean, I like the evidence and I like gathering the stuff, mm-hmm. and that is exciting, but my questions are more on how is it happening, or, mm-hmm. you know, is it really people who have passed away? Is mm-hmm. it something else? You know, like,
right.
my main question would be is, okay, if it's a soul or a spirit, okay, mm-hmm. and we're and that's what we're dealing with, then how does our soul or our spirit, how does it stay in our body? Why doesn't it leave? Why does it stay with us? Like, why does yours stay with you and mine stay with me? And how does it choose when it's time to go? You know, I mean,
sure.
I understand body died. Maybe that it goes then. But I mean, in the meantime, why doesn't it just like fly out of my body? And then I just stand there looking like a meat sack standing in the street.
It's like gravity. How do we know? Because it's this, you know, gravity is a really difficult one too. Why don't we fly off the earth?
Exactly.
You know, what about?
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, but you know, it's like you asked that. But what about like out of body experiences or astral projection? Is that the person's soul that is actually able to leave their body, their inner personality, and
or near death experiences?
Yeah, or right. and go exactly. wherever.
Right, exactly. Or I look at this too. Okay, we go to sleep and we dream. Do we really dream, or do we leave our bodies? Do our souls leave our bodies and go somewhere else? And all the stuff that we're seeing playing back in our heads when we wake up, was it really just a dream of thoughts and memories we have in our head, or was it something we were actually experiencing?
I don't know. I don't
know.
That,
you know what?
That stuff blows my mind.
Yeah.
If most of the dreams that I had as a 13-year-old boy were actual reality, I'm surprised I'm not in prison.
You're the king of the world.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But those are all questions. You know, one of the things that I write about a lot, I write a paranormal blog, and one of the things that I write about a lot is how darn many assumptions we make as paranormal investigators, and not necessarily me and maybe not you, but as a whole, paranormal investigators start with massive assumptions that ghosts exist and that they're the spirits of dead people. And I mean, there's so many assumptions, and it's really hard to get to a place where you're free of all of those.
Right, exactly. And I've come to find, well, you know, while doing investigations, I mean, when you're, all right, say we're talking EVPs, okay, we're talking audio. Mm-hmm. When you're asking intelligent questions and getting intelligent response, I mean, to me, then that leads me to believe that I'm dealing with some kind of intelligence, whether it's passed away or not. I'm not sure, but sometimes it does connect depending on the investigation and the history and the background that we're getting. Plus, then we're getting we're asking the questions, getting the answers that fit, you know, sort of like a puzzle. You know, you start putting it all together, and then sometimes I do believe that sometimes I am talking to someone who has moved on to whatever the next step is for us, you know, and that, you know, maybe, you know, at least partly that some of these are deceased people, you know.
Well, I definitely think so. I mean, I've been on a few investigations where I was like, there was one, for example, I asked the, you know, just into the air, why are you here and why is the boy so important to you? And on the voice recorder, you can clearly hear the boy is special, get out of my house, a-hole. Obviously, he knows me because he was able to call me an a-hole. But
yeah, that'd be pretty good.
But no, it's... When I do this and I can get a response like that and it sounds like a person, it's like, dude, if it quacks like a duck and flies like a duck, holy crap, it's a duck.
But you know, it's a dead person?
Well, there's obviously nobody living there standing in front of me, so.
Right,
but maybe it's a living person who's having a dream. I just blew your mind.
Mind equals blown. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that comes true too. You know, there's just too many. You know, it's just like, you know, like when we state, you know, and we state it just like a lot of people state it. Okay, we're a science based kind of thing. You know, the only reason I use that, and I use that word very loosely, is because just gathering. You know, you're trying to gather some kind of data. You're trying to get a grip on it somehow, whether it's, you know, outside, you know, humidity, temperature, EMF, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're trying to gain an idea of how, you know, does this happen? What happens before this transpires? What happens after it transpires?
Right.
You know, but I mean, by no means are we scientific. You know, when people go, I'm totally scientific, it's like,
No, you're not.
I couldn't even say that with a straight face,
Chuck. We're an observe and participate kind of people. That's what we do. We observe and we participate in it. And in the fact that, you know, I mean, I understand the word science in Latin, you know, that basically means knowledge. So, yeah, we're all trying to gain knowledge. So in that respect, I guess we can use that word. But other than that, we're just pretty much observing, participating, trying to gather whatever we can. And I think also in the field, you need to people really need to stop worrying about, hey, am I going to be a star?
No.
You know, they need to.
You know what? I have to tell you what. I am so happy that you are our last guest ever before the world ends, because I think I love you. You're saying all of the things that I commonly bitch about. So you go, Chuck.
Yep. Everything you're saying is like falling into line with what basically Karen and I bitch about quite a bit, either on or off the air. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. No, it's just, you know, it's nice to be known, you know. It's nice. It's like, for me, I like our name of our team to be out there, because it does help to, so we can go to other places and we can gather more evidence and we can figure out what's going on. In that respect, that's cool as far as I'm concerned. But I think that we need to more worry about, as different groups, getting together and swapping information and compiling things so we can see if maybe we have an answer. But, you know, with people...
You mean collaborative instead of...
Yeah, you know, right. Instead of, like, guard it and going, I'm not going to show you this because then you'll put your name on it. It's like, well, who cares? Yeah. Really?
But, wow, look at you go. And I bet you also have a thing against all the drama, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I like the TV shows like anybody does. I like Ghost Adventures, you know, that kind of stuff. I like those guys. I think they're cool. I think it's entertaining. I think that, you know, they're trying to do what they're trying to do, and I'm not going to say, you know, otherwise. But I think what we do as smaller groups in this real world here, where we're not being watched by television, I think that's more important, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just my opinion, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to hear you say that you're not doing science. Because when people say that, it really concerns me that so few people know what science actually is.
Well, you know, Chuck, here's the thing that always bugs me about the whole coming together thing. You have these, you've got two ends of the spectrum on this, okay? Mm-hmm. You got one end that's like all like, we're science, 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 science. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where people are like, well, we approach this in a very spiritual sense, you know, with using mediums. You know, whatever. I like to think that I come somewhere right in the middle. And
I'm the flower child of paranormal investigators.
You have these two end of the spectrums, and neither one of them trust each other.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's, we got to get to the point where we do trust each other, because we're all in it, at least I believe, for the same reason, to get the answer to what happens after we pass away, or what's on the other side, or what are we dealing with. So in order to do that, we need to put that wall down, and we need to say, okay, here's the metaphysical, the non-metaphysical, let's get those guys together, and let's see, because, you know, I mean, no offense, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, when I do an investigation, yeah, we go in and we try to debunk what we can and try to figure out what's what, just because we want to sift out what's, you know, really happening, what's, you know, we can understand is happening by normal means, but personal experiences, how you feel, your gut, all that kind of stuff, that's just as important as gathering your evidence. I mean, that's more important.
Thank you, Chuck.
Because we're
people.
I agree.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I'm a paranormal hippie, and I'm part of a team that where we've got a nice balance of, you know, the metaphysical peace, love, and joy people, and the people who do the more investigatory approach. And I think it works really well when you combine that on a team. It can work tremendously well.
Right, exactly. I mean, I haven't done any of the... I haven't had like a mediums or sensitives or anything do anything with us yet, but next year that's my plan is to. But of course, I have to find someone. It's tricky too because I mean I feel I have to find someone I can trust that's just not you know blowing smoke up my butt and saying they can do something and they can't. But if they're truly real, I want them to come with us, and we're looking for people so that next year when we go on some of our investigations, we can take them with, and I can see the differences, and I can see how it all works. You know what I'm saying?
You know what though, Chuck? And this is what I do when I test people who claim to be mediums. You take them somewhere and then feed them a line of bull.
Okay.
And if they're a real medium, they're going to be able to see through that line of bull. I have met and worked with three people that I have told complete outright lies to and just absolute deception. And they look at me and say, you're not being honest with me. I need you to be honest. And then they tell me what is really going on in the location, especially when it comes to a private home. And when they're able to do that, I'm sorry. I have to say this person has a legitimate ability.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I guess you know I can understand that. I think I would probably try that then to see if because I'm always leery about that. You know, I'm like some guy walking around making up stuff. You know, it's not helping the cause or us trying to figure out what's going on if you're just blowing smoke up my butt. So
right.
You
know, well, but there are ways to do it without being feeding them a line of crap either. You can tell. You know, I've worked with a lot of people over the years, and you can just tell the ones that are getting good information because there's other things to support what they're saying and doing. It's not, not just out of the blue stuff. And, you know, if they wind up possessed or zoning out, I mean, those are the ones that you need to
by a demonic
be a
ball of energy.
Concerned about
horns and stuff, then I should probably worry. Or is it?
I worked with one who was like doing this. Oh, I don't. What happened? Where am I? What's going on? And one of my fellow investigators handed me a spritz bottle of holy water, and I sprayed her.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm gonna get that person that's gonna go. You know, they're like a really petite little lady, and all of a sudden they go, "Okay, I'm not like that." I'm like, oh, "Okay, really? You're just really? Come on."
I think that there are ways to test mediums without Rick just completely feed them a line of BS.
It's, you know what, I'm probably not really coming off the way that I'm trying to say, but it's like, I want to know that when I, you know, tell people about this person, and that when I put it out there, I want to make sure that I am not putting myself out there or putting this person out there, and then they wind up being completely full of crap. Like Nancy LaPorta, for example, she's the medium that I work with quite frequently, and she's a real good family friend. It's like she can see through all of the garbage, and then if she gives you a reading, she's not going to tell you all the nice, flowery stuff that you want to hear, not like the people on TV. No, she's going to lay it down on the line. If she says that, if she says that she thinks that you're going to die in a horrible car accident 30 years from now, she's probably not lying to you.
So okay. What does she say about the end of the world then?
She says that there is no such thing.
Oh, gosh.
So
that means I'm going to have to go to lunch with people that I postponed it.
Yep, and we're probably going to get sued for playing that song at the top of the show. So, damn you, Michael Stipe.
Damn it.
Oh. Okay, so you do a lot of investigating in Chicagoland, like Rick does. Now, do you guys have places in common that the two of you have investigated, Rick? Chuck?
I'm not really sure. We did our last one was Willow Creek Farm in Shannon, Illinois.
Okay, yeah. I've never been there, but I know about quite a bit about it. Yeah,
Al's a pretty nice guy. We become kind of friends and stuff. We're going back out there. In fact, in the spring, we're going to go back out there again and do kind of a, like, you know, our first approach was going there with the DVR system and all the blah, blah, blahs. Mm-hmm. And we've come to find that at the end of the day, when we were all just sitting in the dining room, we had our K2 meter and, you know, our digital recorder and stuff. We're just talking, and he was just chit-chatting, and he said, you know, when you put your guard down, it's usually when things happen around there. Yeah, he was right, because at the end of it was insanely crazy. So next time we go out, we're going to go a little bit, a little less techie, you know, some tech, but a little less techie and more of a just kind of a, hey, we're visiting, have a barbecue, and then go and do some investigating, light investigating, and then just see what transpires, because we had a lot of luck last time. So we did that place. We've done the Egyptian Theater. We just did that. We did a lock house in Morris, Illinois. Was the last standing structure for a town that's not there anymore. It's now Morris, but you know, and we've done some other, you know, residentials and stuff like that. So,
see, and that's basically what I have been doing for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years now, is doing mostly private homes, because I think that that's where it's at, where you really get to the, you know, where you really get down to brass tacks and you're really able to help people.
Right.
But, you know, when it comes to going to public places, I know it's been done to death, and of course now it's, you know, been ruined because of the guy with the hair and the jewelry. But, but I mean, come on, that jewelry is fabulous, you gotta admit.
Yes. Yeah.
Bachelor's Grove. I mean, yes. I love Bachelor's. From the second you walk across the street from the Rubio Woods Cemetery and you get on that path, it is like an entirely different world. You can feel as if reality has just been sucked out.
I agree.
And you're going into a place that's like crazy.
Were you guys there at night? Because I know at night they usually kick you out or get arrested. And I mean, we went during the day, you know, because we didn't want to, you know, get arrested. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah, good plan.
You know, it's kind of puts a damper on things when they're yanking you off to jail. But right. So yeah, we went,
and you got to be careful with those guys too, because like those cops in that part of Cook County, they're not playing games with you, man.
Yeah,
they will mess you up.
Yeah. Yes, they will. So yeah, we went there today and stuff. But I agree. That place was really interesting and cool, and it does kind of set you back. Like once you're back there, you're just like, I'm. Even though you got the cars going by along that one bridge, but it's like, I'm in the middle of nowhere now, and the trail itself, when you walk down that trail, that is like the creepiest thing ever, day or night.
Yeah,
you know, so.
You know, it's like there's been a couple of times where I have been, you know, back in the cemetery, and you know, you talk about the Midlothian Turnpike. There's been a few times I don't even hear the cars out there.
Really?
I mean, it's just silent. And one of the best EVPs that I've ever had is one of the strangest EVPs that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. My friend Amy, she actually used to be a part of my group, but, you know, kind of really don't have a group anymore. But we were back there, and we were in, like, right in smack dab in the middle. There was, like, this clearing in this little tree right there. Mm-hmm. And we're standing there, and I'm doing an EVP session. And later on, when I listened back, I mean, Amy had already said that she felt that there was something very strange going on here. When I listened to that EVP, I could hear a man's voice say, "Let the mother effer feel the pain."
Okay.
That was the craziest EVP that I've ever got. But if you're going to get really wacky, crazy EVPs, Bachelor's Grove is definitely the place to get them.
Yeah. We didn't really get too many too much on audio the first time we went. We want to go back again next year. You know, mm-hmm. I'm hoping to go back next year. But we did find something. Not if it's paranormal. It's just weird. Basically, we were in the cemetery, and I brought in some of the people that I work with too. We were just kind of doing our thing, and all of a sudden the guy says, "Look up in that. There's that tree in the center of the cemetery. It's like one of the only standing trees there. It's a little tree." Yeah. And he goes, "Look up in there. It looks like a piece of newspaper." And we're like, "Really?" So we go turn over and walk over to the tree, and he climbs up there. And evidently, it was an animal skull.
Oh,
up a tree. Yeah,
like yeah, I've heard of that.
Animal skull. So, you know, we're like, okay, maybe we should not be here. You know what I mean? So it was a little bit on the creepy side. But yeah, I definitely liked it. I think besides Willow Creek, which to me was really a full experience from. I mean, I consider a real haunting, I guess, per se, because it gave me everything from I was touched, I saw things, I heard things, I sensed things. Everything pretty much gave us what we wanted in just small portions, nothing real crazy. But, I mean, it was full. It covered all the spectrums of, you know, besides an apparition, you know, I mean, it pretty much covered everything else. So that and then the theater, of course, the Egyptian theater was definitely a very creepy place at nighttime.
Well, you know, I like creepy places at nighttime.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. Look, they have all the Egyptian stuff up too. You got all these, you know, bronze heads and all that kind of stuff. So you're in the dark and you're seeing all these weird faces on the walls. And yeah, and it's a pretty big place too. When we first got there, we're like, if you look at it from the front, it's very narrow, so it looks really small. But as soon as you got down there and turned to the right inside the building and looked, this place was huge. It was like a balcony, a main floor, and then the basement, where it was like the dressing areas and all, a lot of the stuff was happening. So yeah, it was a pretty large place. So yeah.
Well, I saw that you also, maybe early on, did some stuff in Resurrection Cemetery. Now, is that the Resurrection Mary Cemetery?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my husband just came home and my dogs are freaking out.
Yeah, that was that's Resurrection Cemetery. That was like before I did In the Dark Investigations. I had a small team called Out of the Box, and we did Resurrection Cemetery, Robinson Woods in Chicago.
That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, that place is pretty cool. And then, you know, so we did a lot of those other places. I haven't done them with this group because I'm trying to find places that are different, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'd like to do more residential, like you say, Rick. But I haven't had a lot of luck, you know, because you know people got to be able to trust you and stuff like that. So it's I've had a few. I'd like to have a lot more. So if anybody's listening right now, you know, we would like to be able to help somebody if they need help and, you know, and gather evidence at the same time, of course. But helping is always the most important thing first. But we haven't had a lot of that so far, but we're just growing, you know. I mean, we're just a few years in, so, you know, hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, it's, you know, I haven't done an actual investigation in over a year now, but the last place we did was in McHenry. In the actual city of McHenry, and you know, we had a can move on the table. We had some amazing EVPs. I remember I was in that house because it was a friend of ours. I was in that house before at a birthday party at one of the residents, and when I walked in, I looked up at the top of the stairs and I see a woman standing up there. Well, there was only two other women in the house at the time, and they were both in the kitchen.
Wow.
Well, besides my wife, three other women.
Right.
But she was standing next to me. So that was the last one that I ever investigated, and it was an amazing investigation.
Well, you know, now you mention that, you know, I know you're from the Chicago area and all, so, you know, the offer is out if you want to come with us next year to one of them. We'd be more than happy to have you come along, you know.
I would love to.
All right, cool. Well, we'll have to hook up on that then. Because we're, you know, like I said, I think you'd like Willow Creek Farm. We're also going to be next year. We have Willow Creek Farm. We have Country House Restaurant, which is in Clarendon Hills.
Right, I've been there before.
Yeah, and we were supposed to get there this year, but they had to do inventory, so we had to reschedule for next year. But and then we have a place that's in Wisconsin from the gentleman who owns Willow Creek Farm. I think it's Stoughton, Wisconsin. It's an antique shop that used to be like, I don't know, I think it was called the Grand Hotel or something like that in town.
Antique shops can be crazy.
Yeah, they said they wrote a book on it and you know all the other stuff, and it's kind of known for being, you know, having activity. So because we became friends with the guy at Willow Creek Farm, then we were able to he hooked us up with these people. So next year we're gonna go out there for an overnight and just stay there in the place overnight, which we haven't done really an overnight one, and we'll try that and see how that works. So
yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because sorry about that. I just received a text from my wife. But anyways, there, you know, literally right down the street from me, I mean, literally within almost walking distance, is the Volo Auto Museum.
Yeah, we've been there. Like, my family and I go there every year for the like look at all the cars and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, this place is amazingly haunted, and I have been trying for the last couple of years to get into this place, and I have actually talked to the owner, and he's like, we're not having paranormal teams in here anymore because of the television show we were on.
Oh, Ghost.
So I'm like, Ghost Lab. So it's like, hey, Clean Brothers, thanks for ruining it for the rest of us, especially us yokels, you know?
What the heck did do to being so angry that they won't let anybody in now, you know?
Apparently they damaged a couple of the cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that make them angry. I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought about that, too. Like, when I saw it on the show, I was like, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting because I'm like, God, we go there every year with my family. We go and we have food and we check out all the cars like Knight Rider and stuff because I'm old school, so I love all that stuff. Oh, yeah. And like, you know, like, wow, that'd really be cool if I could go and, you know, and do this. But now that you've pretty much answered my question, that's probably not going to happen. So
our favorite place is no longer accessible either, and it's heartbreaking when you have a place that you go so regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know what? Let's do this. We're going to go to break because we're having some issues with Skype. We're getting a lot of echoey feedback. We're going to go to break, and we're going to try and restart this call and see if we can get it better. And when we come back, you have some EVPs for us, and hopefully the echo will be gone so we can listen to them.
Cool. Sounds great.
And we'll play the EVP game.
That's right. We'll play the EVP game. So stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Before you ever leave this world alive, I'll thank you for the things you did in my life. If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet tonight. Wherever I am, you'll always be more than just a memory. If I
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. Tonight, we're talking to Chuck Gotsky of In the Dark Investigations. And, you know, welcome back, Chuck. Thanks for sticking around. But I just want to say something. And Chris Davis is in the chat room, and he's, an Irishman as well. Cheryl said that it sounds like a bunch of drunken Irishmen singing.
Oh,
I'm sure.
No, I said that.
Oh, Karen said that. Now I'm sure Chris Davis could tell you that it's true.
It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite songs, and I thought it was appropriate for the end of the world party.
No, it's a negative stereotype that, you know, happens to be quite true at times.
Well, I like Flogging Molly, even though they sound like a bunch of drunk Irishmen. So there you go. Well, and as a matter of fact, that album that it's off of is called Drunken Lullaby. So there you go.
There you have it then.
That's right. So Chuck, you have brought with you some EVPs, I understand.
An enormous amount of EVPs.
So Rick and I get excited like schoolgirls when one of
our are you kidding me? I'm giggling like an anime schoolgirl on my inside.
It's very exciting to us because we play the EVP game. I'm winning. And what we do is Cheryl...
She has better headphones than I do, Chuck.
He's a liar. So he's not good at EVPs. So Cheryl plays the EVP, and Rick and I try to guess what it says.
Okay.
Then you can talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine. There's some EVPs in there, and then I think towards the end, because I have the list, I think there's some Spirit Box ones also, which, you know... almost all of them are self-explanatory. You should be able to tell what most of them say anyway, so...
Okay.
Very good. Cheryl, are you ready for EVPs?
Definitely, yeah. And we're going to play these in order because Chuck can tell us about them. And the first one... Let's see, it's about 20 seconds long, and it's labeled number one. So, do you want me to play it first, and then Chuck can tell us about it?
Play it, and then play it again, and then, yeah, you know,
all right, here we go. The usual. Okay, here we go.
Want us to move on. Maybe, you know, direct our attention somewhere else. Maybe you want your privacy. Okay, we are going to wrap up.
Was it there at the end, or was it the loud part
right
in the middle?
It's right after he says, you have your privacy, and since we have to boost it so you can hear it, when I hear it through the radio, it's super loud, so it makes it hard to be able to hear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's do it one more time, Cheryl.
Okay, I actually heard it. It was like a whispering in the middle of the clip,
but
right?
It was like
a sentence.
Yeah, it was long, but I couldn't make out the words. Here, let's try it one more time.
Want us to move on. Maybe, you know, direct our attention somewhere else. Maybe you want your privacy. Okay. We are going to wrap up.
I don't have any idea. I hear exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's from Willow Creek Farms, where it's in the older. They have a basement split up once, but kind of been redone. And this is in the older 1800s section of it. He had the audio on the stairs, and basically he's asking if you want your privacy. And then you'll hear the voice say, "The people downstairs are causing trouble." And then it's very whispery, and it's funny because we find out later on that there was a negative entity in that basement and didn't like when people were down there, so it fit. And it's right; it's happening between Larry and Al, and neither of them are even hearing that it's happening. But it took me a few times to listen to it to actually hear it. But when I start following the syllables and the way it bumps up and down, you can see that it says the people downstairs are causing trouble.
So let's hear it one more time now that we know what it says.
Okay.
Want us to move on? Maybe direct our attention somewhere else. Maybe you want your privacy.
Okay. Yeah, I can.
I hear the people down, and then after that, it's I don't hear anything.
Right.
Okay. So next one.
Okay, moving on to number two. Here we go.
Okay, Mike, the underwear story, is it a funny story? Mike, is it a funny story, the underwear story?
Maybe it's not a funny story.
It is, isn't it? Okay.
It's a
something
funny story.
Something funny. Yeah,
it's funny, too.
Yeah. Booyah! That's me.
That's correct. We're in the dining room, and what's funny is that when the owner's asking the question, then the K2 goes off and buries, which was burying for like 10, 15 minutes. We had a stretch of it going for like crazy, and it was like flashing, and then we didn't hear that audio till later when I was going through it, and it fits where it says, it's a funny story, and the thing went off, and then that's how the owner's reacting to it, saying, oh, yeah, it is a funny story, because he could see the lights going off. So
nice.
It kind of fit nice together.
Cool. Let's hear it one more time.
Okay, Mike, the underwear story, is it a funny story?
Mike, is it a funny story? The underwear story? Maybe it's not a funny story. It is, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds a little female, though.
Yeah, well, that's what we were having a problem with, is that we were thinking we were talking to this entity by the name of Mike. He's a farmer that was in that area at that time. Mm-hmm. But there's also other entities that are at this place. There's like 9, I guess, according to the gentleman that lives there. So okay. It could have been, you know, somebody else, but it kind of fit to what was happening. So
right.
Cool. Okay, next.
Number 3.
I heard it in there.
Yeah. Mm, I did.
We don't know what it says. It's coming because we're talking downstairs, and it's happening up in the northwest bedroom, which is up and around the corner, way away from us. But I haven't sliced. I just hear a voice. I just don't know what it's saying. So,
yeah. Can you play it one more time, Cheryl?
It almost doesn't sound like English. I don't know. I can't make it out.
Yeah, I can't make it out. Like we couldn't tell, but it stood out enough to where I figured I'd, you know, keep it in with our information, because if it's something that's really vague or obscure, I just pretty much just put it to the side and throw it out. You know, it has to be something that's kind of substantial. At least it stands out. So
sure,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one.
Is there more than one person here?
Sounded like interference or something like that. Couldn't tell.
Oh.
Yeah, this was at the Egyptian Theater. All
did
I could
somebody
tell was,
say hi or something?
I heard like I'm. That's what I thought I heard was I'm, but I don't know what else it said.
Oh, I thought it was just, hi.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been hi, too, yeah. I just, yeah. It just came out really loud, but I don't know what it's saying, so.
Judges, do we give it to Karen?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay. Oh, we're tied. Okay.
We're 1-1. Nice.
So, look, can good we job. Hear that one more time?
Yeah.
Is there more than one person here?
I think it's high.
You know what? It sounds like Zeke Heil to me.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because there's one later on that's not in our language, it's German, because the part of the deal with the Egyptian Theater was there was a guy named, I think his name was Irv, I'm hoping I'm saying the last name right, like Kummerfeld or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was, who helped to restore the place so it wouldn't be destroyed, and he was German, and I believe he passed away in the theater.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, I thought that he was the, he was a projectionist, wasn't it? Wasn't he?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe so. And that, yeah, he did pass away actually in the theater. So that's why when we were getting some of the stuff, I'm thinking it sure sounds, you know, like a German sound to it, you know, not an English sound to it. So
can we hear that again? I mean, because it does sound like it's saying Sieg Heil to me.
Sure. Here we go.
Is there more than one person here?
You know, you're right.
It does. It's saying Zeke Heil.
See, I didn't even catch that. That's interesting. I'm gonna have to remark my list now, Rich. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody in chat says they're hearing L'chaim.
L'chaim?
Mm.
Sure, to life.
To life.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Okay, judges. Do I get part of it?
Yeah, you get one too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Badass.
You are badass. Karen, Rick's winning.
I don't care.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
It's stop about lying. Time Rick had a win.
Stop lying.
Don't give up now. Don't give up now. We got a few more to go.
I'm not giving up.
Oh, good.
Jeez.
Go home unless you can bring it.
Karen's too competitive to give up. Okay, you guys ready for number 6?
That was it?
That was it.
It sounded like somebody sneezing twice.
Yeah.
No, actually, this was number, I believe it was number, I thought it was number 5 on the list. It's in the theater balcony.
Oh, you are right. It is 5, I think.
We hear him saying,
or 6.
Hold on, and then you hear, hey. You hear, hold on, and then hey. And it would kind of fit into what happened at the theater, which I can explain in a minute.
Okay, play it again.
Let's try it again.
I still think it sounds like somebody's sneezing.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay, well, maybe somebody had a cold that night.
It's a sneezing ghost. Anything is possible because we did a residential investigation this past weekend. We had a whistling ghost. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy. It wasn't like an occasional or one whistle. It was like the entire night.
Right.
It was weird. Anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, we just said hold on, hey, because right after that, one of the gentlemen we had with us fell down the stairs.
Oh, yikes. My.
Yeah, and it was right like a minute before it happened, so it kind of like fit into what was happening, so it was kind of even weirder that.
Was he all right?
Yeah, he was okay. He's all right.
Oh, well, then you should have sent us the audio of him falling down the stairs.
Yeah, that was pretty loud. You would have probably heard that no problem.
Rick would have been like, that sounds, I'm hearing the F word.
No, that would be me falling down the stairs at the moment.
F, ow, F, ow.
Yeah,
all right, so number 6.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, I hear it in there.
So what you're hearing, because this was down in the basement of the theater, which is the one bathroom is supposed to be where there's a lot of activity, that banging sound you heard is nobody. There should be no banging sound down there at all. In fact, the recorder's on the garbage can that's actually banging, and we're not there at the time. We're all upstairs. There's no one else in the building, and I don't understand where all the banging's coming from, but we captured it in there. And then after, you'll hear like a growling, like a kind of a growling.
Yeah, I heard growling. Yeah.
I was just going to say, it sounded like a growl or a moan or some weird,
Yeah, that banging totally was not us, so that was part of what we caught.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Cool. Okay.
Play it again.
Here we go.
Okay. That's weird.
It is weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
kind of weird.
That's kind of like creepy the way it's growling like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, we made sure that there wasn't, you know, vents, anything at all, because we check pretty thoroughly before we go, you know, make sure we know what sounds are sounds. And the whole rest of the night when everything was getting caught down there, there was no banging or thumping or anything like that, so I don't know.
You know what it almost sounds like is it's almost sounds like one of those metal chairs being dragged across the floor and then kind of lightly lift up and bam.
Well, it could be too, because right outside that is a dressing area where people dress for the theater, and there are chairs and stuff downstairs. So
okay,
All right.
Okay.
From coming out from outside the bathroom area too. So
yeah.
Okay. Good.
So
what are we on now?
Okay, eight? We are on. I am not sure. I've lost count. Did I just play?
Yeah, we're on seven now. Well, the seven will be the next one.
Seven. Okay, good. Seven. Yeah. Okay. Some of these, unfortunately, lost their labels when I imported them in here. So.
Oh, no. We've lost our label.
I don't know why, but this is seven.
Okay, which
is it? Is it all of that?
No, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
That's great.
I have a guess. Is it somebody telling? Is it like shh?
It's at the very beginning. You're gonna hear a voice, and then it's the rest of us. We're talking because we're on the male side of the bathroom, but we're getting the information. The sound is coming from the female side, which is on the opposite side of the wall, and we don't hear it. But you're gonna hear a voice first that sounds German, and then you're gonna hear us start. You'll hear us talk, and so
okay,
check it out again.
So it's that very first voice.
That's correct. It says it was like Audison or something like that. I don't know what. I haven't got it.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
It could have been something like that. We just couldn't tell. It sounded German in the sound to it, you know what I mean? And it was pretty loud because you can hear the echoey of the bathroom with it too, which made it sound just like our voices. Although, of course, we're louder. It's got that same effect, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Huh, cool.
Now, Chuck, let me ask you something. What is your personal theory on EVPs? Do you think that it's something telepathic, or do you think that it's an energy thing, or what are your thoughts on that?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, because I understand everybody has their theory about it. Sure. I don't think it's telepathic per se. I think that somehow or another, how they can generate the energy to make the sound, since it's our vocal cords when we speak, you know what I mean? So, of course, they don't have vocal cords, so how are they going to do that? But I've never really gotten to the point where I have one solid thought on how they're doing it, except for that somehow or another they're manipulating the energy to make it sound like an audio voice. Like, you know, like maybe since we knew what it sounded like when we were alive, if it is people from, you know, that are deceased, then maybe there's a way for them to make it still sound like they understand what it sounds like, so they can make the vibrations to make it sound like it's audio. You know, I don't really put a solid thought on that yet, though.
That actually makes perfect sense for me. There is a question from the chat room that we want to ask before we move on, and I, you know, kick Karen's butt tonight. It's actually from Elaine from WOOPI.
Whoopee!
And she says, I'm just going to read what she says. Okay, so paranormal teams wind up in crazy places. What does Chuck's team do to protect themselves from illnesses caused by stuff at a location?
Okay. Basically, what we do before we go into any location, because our tech guy Larry, he's, you know, very, you know, worried about that kind of stuff. You know, we basically do a small prayer before we go, a prayer of white light. It's basically not a religious prayer per se, but, you know, it's kind of an all around prayer that can kind of cover us to make sure that whatever we're doing, they know that we're there just to gather information. We're not there to you know, cause any trouble. We're friendly. We just want to try to understand what's happening. And that, well, of course, when we leave at the end, please, you know, you need to stay where you're at. You can't come home with us, you know, that kind of a thing. Well, we do it at the beginning of every investigation just to make sure that we're kind of safe and, you know, they get the ground rules kind of a thing, you know.
Well, how about physical safety as far as, molds and, you know, I've crawled around in some basements before where the mold has just been terrible.
Yeah, we haven't run into that situation yet, but if so, since the tech manager used to be in an environmental kind of a company a long time ago, definitely masks would come into play. Safety is the number one thing with us. We have certain rules, like when you're taking pictures and you're in the dark, don't move, set where you're at, you have your lights on, set where you're at, then stay still. Whenever we're walking, we have flashlights that we put on the ground so we know where we're going. Then when we're set in our areas and we know what's behind us and around us, then we can shut them off and use our IR and such like that. But as far as physical safety, and we do bring first aid kits and all that kind of stuff with too. So, and we have like always have the numbers to the local hospitals, the police department, wherever you're at. So that way, if anything happens, you're covered at 100%. You know what I mean? It's safety is the important thing, you know. So.
Yeah.
Good, good. Okay, so we have some more EVPs, Cheryl?
Let's see. We're actually on the spirit box. We've got three spirit box audios to listen to.
So before we do the spirit box, Chuck, you know, we use the spirit box, and I've had some varying results with it. What do you think of the spirit box?
We used to use the Shack, you know, the Shack Hack, whatever they call them, the spirit box / radio, which works sometimes, and sometimes it just drives me crazy because it'll stop scanning and you start playing wonderful music or, you know, that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, mm-hmm. I did find, though, by using it that you can tell the difference between radio talk and someone coming through in a full sentence that sounds totally different than what you're hearing as far as the radio. Now, that's why we did move finally from the spirit box to an SB7 because it's more white noise generated. So it constantly scans. It doesn't stop. We can go in reverse. Yeah. It's like super fast. So anything that's really coming through that, you're pretty much getting you know, something other than, you know, talk on the radio and stuff like that. But within what you're going to hear now within the Egyptian theater, the whole time that we're using it, the only time we got anything is when we were asking questions and responses to our questions. Other than that, everything in between is constant, like white noise, quiet noise, not.
This is an SB7 that you have it with.
Well, these three, this was our last time we used the actual, you know, the spirit box per se, you know.
But yeah, we have both. So, we have the Shack Hack and the SB7. And yeah, I agree. I love the SB7.
Yeah, we took we dropped the antenna down. We put it on AM, so there's less likely, you know, for you catching radio stations and stuff. But we just found the SB7 is a little more, it worked a little bit better.
Okay, Cheryl, are you ready to? Oh, go ahead, Rick.
You know, and I'm just going to say, it's, yeah, I've said it quite a bit on the show before. Personally, me, I hate the spirit box. It's so loud and so annoying, and I really honestly cannot hear a darn thing.
Well, and I remember I've heard you say that on the radio too. And, you know, for us, sometimes, yeah, it does get like loud, like annoying, like drive you crazy. Yeah. I learned to be able to control it to where it's loud enough for us to hear, but not like loud enough for us to want to, you know, rip our heads off.
Because it is very fatiguing to listen to for any period of time.
Yeah, we only use it for small spurts just to try as a, you know, a different way of communicating. And I did have like one time where we were at the residential in Sandwich, Illinois, and I went actually to go shut the thing off. I said, okay, we're all done, blah, blah, blah. And we had a loud voice come through that yelled, wait, super loud, right through it, clear as could be. We all stopped on our tracks. So, I mean, it does have its place, but I think only in a small portion.
I agree.
I'll go with you on that, sure, yeah.
All right, let's do it, Cheryl.
Okay, here we go.
Can you say hello to us there? Is there anybody?
Religious practice.
What is it?
What did you say? Things? Religious practice? No. Well, no, I know what it says, but what did you think it said, Karen?
What is it?
It's to us, what I thought
no,
it
no,
said
No, I think it said, what is it?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it says, what did you say? Because you know, can you say hello to us, Irv, you know, trying to see if maybe it was him, and I heard, what did you say? Just sort of like that.
I think I should get a point for that, Cheryl.
That was pretty close.
I'm definitely giving it that, pretty Karen. Close. I mean, religious practice. Religious practice, where do I even get that from?
It's the voices in your head.
I like cheese.
It's the voices in our echo right now.
I know, and mine's all echoey. I was hearing it all echoey, and I still didn't come up with religious practice. Let's listen to it one more time for the folks at home.
All right.
Can you say hello to us there? Is there anybody?
Well, no, it's saying religious.
It does sound like religious to me.
Well, but then it could be.
It does sound like what did you say too.
It's what did you say?
Hey, Cheryl.
You could be saying, I love cheese. You know,
I'm not helping, am I?
Whatever.
I think Cheryl should get that one, I think.
Yeah. I get,
Cheryl doesn't play.
Oh.
Cheryl, she keeps the talent happy, and that's all she needs to do. The talent, is that what we are?
I love it when Rick says that.
That we're the talent. It just cracks me up. You're so talented.
I can't say that with a straight face. I really can't.
Oh. I think we should play it one more time just to make a final call.
Okay.
Can you say hello to us, sir? Is there anybody?
Religious.
It says religious something.
Chad says religious.
I'm gonna have to agree with Rick, which I rarely do.
Yeah.
Okay, I realize
you sure,
this.
Like, you sure like the end of the world is not really reflected in your thought process?
It's
then.
I was religious.
Say, I'm not hearing religious.
You don't hear it?
I'm not hearing it either.
I hear
faintly.
It, Rick. I hear it, Rick. So Rick hits another point.
Yeah.
No, I seriously hear. What did you say?
Thank you.
I hear religious something. I agree with Rick.
Okay.
Okay. Next one.
Oh. Okay. Let me get the next number 9. Here we go.
Can you tell us who is here, who's downstairs on that stairway that we keep getting reading from? So we'd like to know who's doing that.
Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much that's what we thought. I said Freddy. It's like in a really creepy way too.
Yeah,
you know?
Freddy.
Like as a Krueger, yeah. Maybe, or you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Freddy's a little frightening.
So, okay, now we're on to 10, and this is for the win, correct, Cheryl?
Well, Rick, I gave you and Karen both a point right there. So, Rick, you're winning. Karen
no,
needs
no, no,
to tie.
No, I can't. I'm not taking a point on that. I don't think that's fair. That was all Karen. I absolutely did not hear that.
Oh, you didn't hear that? I thought you said, yeah, Freddy.
That was after Karen had said it, and then it was like, you know.
Gotcha.
The
you're
thing
tied.
In my brain was like, yeah,
so
it's
yes,
Freddy.
This is for the
this
win.
This is for the win.
This is Rick's sure is. Redemption chance.
Yeah, right. Finally, it's the end of the world, for
Rick.
God's sakes, in a few hours here.
Rick.
And if Rick wins, that is definitely a sign that
the
we're
end.
All
yeah.
Dead.
We're doomed.
Die. We're doomed.
All right, here
doomed
we go.
Doomed as doomed can be.
Talk about the theater.
Thank you. Something. Thank you, Paul. Can you play it one more time?
Rick, right. Do you have a guess?
Just play it again, please, if you don't mind.
Talk about the theater.
Thank you, something. Thank you, Pop. Thank you, Paul.
It's yeah. Karen.
I thought it said, I'm too far. Like when I was saying, you know, can you talk about it? I said, I'm too far. So
oh,
I don't know.
One more time then.
Talk about the theater.
I hear thank you, Paul.
I hear thank you. Definitely Karen.
Karen, you have saved us from the end of the world.
Woohoo! We're not going to die! Hey. Through at the last minute for the win.
I got the Zeke Heil though, and I forgot that the cat that worked there and died there was from Germany. So
that's pretty
that
good,
was
Rick.
Very good.
That was impressive.
I have to say the Zeke Heil was very impressive.
Yeah.
So I guess Irv was like a Nazi sympathizer then, huh?
You know what we've totally done though is we've totally negated anything that Chuck claimed that these EVPs said. We gave them our own meanings, and we've just basically said, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, dude.
That's right. I'm just going to wrap it up and call it a day now.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks very much.
Well, you know, it's because it's the end of the world. We're not usually this bad with our guests.
First you tell me you love me, now you're just making fun of me.
No, I totally do. I love everybody.
You know,
man.
That's how I see about audio. I find that interesting because when I play for other people too, they'll say, "Well, I heard this," you know, and I say, "Well, I heard this." So it's all kind of, unless you're getting something like Freddy, you know, or something like that that's pronounced, you really you're just kind of guessing at it, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's very subjective, and what's interesting is that the spirit box is just as subjective as an EVP, and I think people think that the spirit box is going to be so much clearer, and sometimes it is.
Right, but yeah, but you know, it being white noise, I mean, you pretty much, your matrix, your auto matrix thing in your head, you know, so you're, you know, it's like when water's dripping, you know, you're hearing, oh, I heard my name, or I heard someone crying, or, you know, it's all subjective, and, you know, and that matrix thing that goes in your head that your brain's trying to make sense of what's hearing, you know, or seeing.
Absolutely. It's all about pattern recognition.
Exactly.
I could hear green beans, and Karen hears Twinkies, and, you know.
So no, I think it would be the other way around because you like Twinkies.
or you're religious all the time, so you know.
You're religious. I'm a little worried about Rick, to tell you the truth. It's your religious practice.
Definitely not me, that's for sure.
Next thing you know, what he's gonna hear is it's gonna be like, "You suck, Rick." That's what he's gonna think he hears on all of them. You know, actually, they do kind of make a good ink blot, don't they? A good Rorschach test.
Right.
What people like, think they hear.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's just normal. That's how it goes when you're, you know, I'm hearing one thing, someone's hearing. Plus, again, I'm sitting here listening to them over and over and over, you know, and then your brain starts to go, you know, please, God, let me make something out of this so I can move on. You know what I mean? Sometimes too, you know, you get to the point where it's like you've heard too many times, you know. So
exactly, and then that's when you get to the point where you start creating an EVP instead of interpreting.
Exactly. I usually go with like what I hear first, and kind of go, okay, that's what I think I hear, and then I listen to it over and over. I go, well, now I can hear this or I can hear that. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, I can hear a lot of things. You know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, the fact that I'm actually hearing something is what I find interesting. You know, that's not actually what they're saying, but that something's being heard to begin with, you know. So
yeah, I agree with you. It is pretty amazing some of the things that come through. And, you know, the spirit box especially. I had a Shack hack, and I had a like one of the little Jensen SAB-50s that you could hack to, because that was really easy to hack. And even, I mean, so easy to hack that I could do it. You cut a purple wire. That's it. And then now we have these, you know, from Ghost Stop, the really good ones. And what I found interesting on the Jensen SAB is we've used that a lot, and I've had a lot of success with that. And the voices that I would get were actually the ones that were below, like they were lower than the radio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like when I do it, I use a WavePad editor. You know, when I'm editing, so I have the decibels on there, and then like some of them like are so like. If you would look at it, it looks like a line until you start. Don't try to manipulate anything. I amplify it, but I try not to manipulate too much because then you start just changing everything. But that's a line, and all of a sudden, wow, it's like all of a sudden now I'm hearing something that was that low, you know what I mean? So that's kind of interesting, and I hear that.
Yeah, we had one night where we were actually at Robert Lang Studios up here in Seattle, which is a great music studio that has recorded a lot of the Seattle great bands, like Heart is recorded there, and Eddie Vedder, my love, has recorded there, and Kurt Cobain recorded his last song there. And I mean, so it's a really neat place. And we had the little Jensen hack going, and we were down in the studio part, and the studio is shielded, so no radio could come in. So all you're getting is the static instead.
Right.
And we had a full conversation with this guy named Steve from Cincinnati, and he was like, must have been from the 70s, because he was saying things like, right on, cool.
It
was
that.
It was amazing.
Wow.
It was the most incredible experience I've ever had with a spirit box. And it was early on in my using it, and that's one of the reasons I like it so much. But then sometimes I get, like, sometimes it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sometimes it's just really loud and annoying, and you're just like, let's just shut it off and go back to just using digital recorders. Well, it's just like with audio, too. It's like, okay, how do you explain, like, we were at Willow Creek Farm, or, like, we can hear ladies chatting, like, having a total conversation as we're trying to set up. We don't even have anything running yet. And, like, all three of us stop, and I look at my buddy Larry, and Larry looks at Al, and I'm like, Did you hear something? They said, yeah. Did you hear something? I said, yeah, okay, I'm going to tell you what I heard. I heard females talking. They go, yeah, that's what we heard. And then like three other times it happened again where we're just trying to set up and stuff and you could hear the conversations and it's like, I don't, you know, and then sometimes when you try to catch those, when you can hear them with your ears, but then you try to catch them on some kind of a digital recorder or something, it doesn't pick up. So I don't, that's why I said I don't have the answer of how that works. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Now, do you have any... of the, you know, there's a lot of, there's always new equipment coming out. Mm-hmm. Do you have any equipment that's kind of new and unusual that you use, or do you have any things that you use that people might consider unusual or hadn't really thought of using for paranormal stuff before?
No, I mean, we're pretty much, you know, just like everybody else, with most of the, I mean, the newest thing I got was I got a static pump, which we were trying that out with a static meter because you can't use an EMF meter or a K2 because it just sets it off like crazy, but it actually puts, you know, EMF into the air. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, you know, they can manipulate it and use it. And then the static meter will go off if something gets near it, which we put it near the pump. So we've been using that. We are looking into my one buddy's going to be buying the Ovilus 2. We're going to try that out just to see, you know, how that works. I'm not really, you know, 100% sold on it, but we want to try it out. And then they also have, like, you know, a shadow meter that I want to try to get with a laser grid. So we're going to try to do some experimentation with that where maybe we can...
Love the laser grid. Love that thing. You know,
laser grids are awesome.
Yeah, they have, like, a really nice one on GhostDot that I want to purchase. And then we're going to use the shadow meter, which you put at the end of the hall, the laser grid at the other end, and then you just shoot with a camera. And then if something moves in between it going across, you can actually kind of grid out how tall it was or what the size of it was. And then, you know, the alarm, of course, is just to tell you, hey, get over there, guys, and check it out, you know.
Right.
But basically, you can catch it on film then and kind of map out, you know, how tall was it? You know, was it skinny, large, you know what I mean? And how did it, you know, what did it appear to be like? So we're going to try to get some of this equipment for next year so we can, you know, try that out and see if that works. I mean, we have, you know, the normal stuff everybody else has, like IR cameras. My buddy just picked up a full spectrum camera that he runs with a GoPro on top of it. Mm-hmm. So we run that, and we run a couple of IRs, and then we have our DVR system and millimeters and, you know, the normal stuff other people have. So
sure.
You know, let me...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to tell you an interesting story concerning a laser grid. An investigation we did in Crystal Lake, we actually watched... We had the grid, you know, it was like pretty much covering the entire room. We mm-hmm. actually watched as whatever was in that house was taking the points of light, moving them around the room, enlarging, making them small, making them disappear, come back, move around. I have no explanation for that. Not only did I see it and three other investigators saw it, but the little girls who lived in the house when we were being bothered by this entity, they saw it too. In fact, it was one of the little girls was like, should it be doing that? I've never seen anything like that before. It was amazing.
I've had some good luck with laser grids too. Some of the things that, you know, you see in them and... we've had some luck with them as well. They're pretty incredible. Now I have also had, in combination with a spirit box, indication that the laser grid actually does frighten some of the entities that I have or whatever they are that I have investigated. Because while somebody was playing with the laser grid, the spirit box was going, "Lights, turn off the lights."
You know, unless they're a sci-fi nerd like me, you know, they're not going to want... Yeah, I can see why they wouldn't want to come near any of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's... I said to them, well, do you want me to go ask them to turn off the lights? And they said, please. And I went and did it. And I came back and I said, okay, they're off. And they said, thank you. So,
yeah, well, you know, at least they're nice about it.
Yeah, well, so I have had some indication that maybe not all spirits think laser grids are real awesome.
Yeah.
They're like, turn it off.
Yeah, they were really very adamant about it. And it was when you get that, but that's what's great is when you get that interactive experience where it's not in your head. It's not like you think, well, I think this might be happening. It's some solid communication where you go and you do what they say. And so they say, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean,
that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I'm looking for, I mean, one of the coolest things that ever happened to me, and it wasn't audio or anything like that, was when, is when I got touched on the back.
Oh,
Which is interesting because I had a vest on, a sweatshirt on, and a shirt on, and I could actually feel fingers, like,
tickling the top of my shoulder.
Where oh, I actually they liked you, them. Chuck.
Hey.
Yeah.
It was like, hey.
Brown
was
chicken,
like,
brown cow.
That's a whole different show.
Yeah, so that kind of like freaked me out because they turned around. I'm like, there's a camera guy, but he's like far back. And I'm like, he looks at me like, what? And I'm like, were you near me? And he's like, no. And I'm like, something was just, and it was even before we even had an investigation start. I went to a truck to get something. And it just took me by surprise because it was so prominent. You know, it wasn't like, gee, I think maybe the wind's blowing the back of my neck. It was pretty much, yeah, that's a hand on my back, you know, so.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions from chat for you.
Okay.
Have you ever investigated a place where you would not go back?
So far, luckily, no, I have not. I haven't run into anything that I felt was, you know, I hate the word, use the word evil because, you know, it's so, it's such a widespread kind of thing, but I never felt uncomfortable enough to where I would not go back to somewhere, you know? I mean, sure, every place you go at when you're walking around the dark, yeah, it could be creepy because you're in the dark, you know, and that's human nature, but sure. Never gone to anything where I would say, oh, I'm never going back there. Oh, my God, you know, I changed my underwear or whatever, you know. I'm not going
to. Right. Yes. I don't know. I've had a few clients who I would not go back to, not because of anything going on paranormally.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, so, I've never. No.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. No, I've never. That's never been the case so far.
Okay. Do you have a paranormal bucket list?
Paranormal bucket list? Well, I mean, such as what? Like equipment I want or places I want to go?
Places you want to go.
Yeah, there was a couple places I would really like to go. I mean, some of them, yeah, everybody knows about them. Waverly is one of them. I would love to go there just to see. Really? Yeah, yeah, I would love to go there just to see if what they're saying is what's really happening.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the places I'd like to go to. Bob Mackey.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a couple places, you know, but I have an issue too where you have to go to some place and they go, okay, well, it's going to cost you $1,500 coming
right.
Here.
Right.
Like, really?
Screw that noise, man.
Like, you know, I had that with, I won't say who it was, so, but there was a place that's local and we wanted to go and they're like, well, let's see, you can go for 4 hours and it'll cost you $700, but people can walk in and out while you're doing it because, you know, it's not private and all to you. Well, then why in the heck would I want to do that?
Me.
Yeah, you're going to contaminate everything. So they're like, well, you could do 12 hours and it'll cost you over $1,000 and then there'll be nobody there. It's like, no.
What? Oh my God.
Like, yeah, it's like, you know, look, okay. I'm a family guy, you know. I've raised 4 kids. 2 of my kids are older now. I have grandkids, but I have 2 in the house still. I work in retail, so it's not like I'm a millionaire, you know what I mean? I mean, just to get equipment enough, you know, is hard enough, you know, let alone be putting money out. I mean, the only place I think we paid to go was the Egyptian Theater. It was like a few $100s. It wasn't that bad. We all really wanted to go there, so hey, it was worth it. And it turned out to be a really good time, and it was worth it. But for the most part, I mean, that kind of stuff just – and it's getting harder, too, because, you know, this is so popular now that, you know, everybody wants to get a chunk of the change, and so that just makes it impossible for people who are serious about it, like us, to actually get to go somewhere and try to gather evidence, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cheryl just said that it costs $4,500 to investigate Alcatraz.
Oh my God.
What is going on here with this?
That was a couple years ago.
Did you, like, paint?
I did not expect it. I thought, hey, let's get into Alcatraz and investigate there. And I finally found the right person. I don't know if they were at the, I can't remember the department, but it wasn't Parks and Recs, but it was like a national park service or something like that. And she's like, yeah, it's $4,500. And that,
did you say, are you effing kidding me?
And I'm like, okay, well, I'll call you back later.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Cheryl, let me just ask, sorry, Chuck, let me just ask you, was this before or after Taps had been there?
Probably after.
That's a good question.
Probably after.
That's a question. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. After. They were there years
yeah.
ago.
This was just a couple years ago.
You know,
okay, there you have it then.
There is a whole industry built around these places that are very popular. And I don't mind a place charging a modest fee.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair.
But thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars, you know, it's insane. And I can go and investigate all sorts of places that aren't going to charge me anything.
Yeah, well,
I can investigate my house.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. If I went to my wife and said, honey, you know, I took $5,000 out of the bank so I could go investigate something and got done removing the IR camera from the darkened place it got put into.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
They have to clean the lens.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nasty thing. You know, so.
Hopefully it didn't have the fisheye lens on it, huh?
At least I wouldn't have to go to the doctor for the colonoscopy then anyways. But
oh, know. My God. $4,500 is absolutely insane.
I would never do that. There's just no way. Unless, you know, I had someone backing me that was a funder and had lots of money. He said, hey, I'll pay for you guys to go there. I'd be like, that's fine, but it's not coming out of my pocket. So.
And just to let you know, that was because they had to have the Rangers stay overnight, and they had a minimum of, I don't even remember how many, 4, 5, 6, and they had to be there with your group.
Well, now, I had that happen at the Hooters restaurant. We were all set up to
investigate. The Hooters restaurant?
Yeah. Well, no, they were going to have the assistant manager stay with us overnight, and we were going to have to pay out of our own pocket for the assistant manager to be there. And it was going to be like $500. And we're like, you know what? You guys have got great stuff that happens in your basement. And I told them straight out, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not paying you $500. End of story.
Okay, the ghost of Hooters. Maybe you could have, you know, never mind. I'm thinking of the South Park. Don't forget to take your raisins. How you doing? Sorry.
Yeah, that's just a little crazy, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I just realized it's 7:45 in my part of the world. Other times in new flyover states.
Yep, 9:45.
But on my coast, it's 7:45, so we have just a few hours left until we all die.
yes!
But in that time, so, Chuck, if people want to go learn more about you...
They can go to... either go to www.inthedarkinvestigations.com. Right now, the website's kind of like... It's a little rough right now. I got to fix it up again. I'm working on a documentary right now. But they can go there, or they can go to, you know, our Facebook page, In the Dark Investigations, and they can find out more about us.
What kind of documentary are you working on?
We did one for the Willow Creek Farm. It was supposed to be done by someone else, but it's thrown into my lap now. So now I am going back to my filmmaking days to try to like put something together that, you know, resembles documentary that, you know, people can see and kind of like what we experienced when we were there. So hopefully sometime next year will be done. So
do you like doing the documentary stuff? Because I love doing that stuff.
Yeah. I loved always doing filmmaking and stuff, so yeah, I liked doing that kind of stuff. I wasn't really prepared for doing this, but you know, yeah.
Well, sometimes life throws things at you. You know how it is.
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
And it's a great way to tell a story. I love telling story on film. It's a very different way. Of course, I'm a writer, so I tell stories all the time, but telling it on film is very, very different, and I like it. So Cheryl also wanted me to mention that you guys were featured in the September-October issue of Paranormal Underground.
Yes, we were. It was a very nice interview, by the way. It was awesome.
People can go find that as well. Mm-hmm. So, Chuck, what are you going to be doing when the world ends?
Probably screaming and running, I'm assuming.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that zombie apocalypse there.
Yeah, hey, thanks for coming on your last night alive.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I listen to you guys all the time. I think your show is great. I've read your book, by the way, Karen, which I think is great also.
Isn't it great? I loved it. My wife loved it too.
I read it in like a day and a half. It was done.
It's a pretty quick read. Now, if you have an iPad, you know, you can get the enhanced iPad version for like what, $2.99, Cheryl, something like that.
Yeah, and it's
$2.99 on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, you can go to thewellingtonproject.org, and I believe that there are EVPs there as well, or links to the EVPs on Paranormal Underground. Then you can hear all the things they actually talk about. Look.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, I do appreciate you guys having me on. Hopefully, maybe I can come on again and talk to you again.
Yeah, hopefully so you can gather some more EVPs.
Yes.
And come on back again, because I'm pretty sure that Rick is going to be gunning for me if we're not dead.
I'll be gunning for you anyways. You know, our spirits will get together and duke it out over EVPs.
Either that would be shouting like religious things at you the whole time. So, you
know. He probably will. I'm a little worried about his mental health tonight. I'm not going to lie. All right. So thank you so much for coming on, Chuck. You have a wonderful last couple hours alive.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Thank you.
Bye, Chuck.
Bye. I probably should stop asking people what they're going to be doing for the end of the world because everybody's answer seems to be, hello. I like Chuck's running and screaming. That's great. You know, realistically, I probably won't be sitting calmly hugging my family and listening to Beethoven. I'll probably be running and screaming. Well, I don't run.
You're so funny, Karen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I think we're going to be okay. I mean, if the hobbits in New Zealand are okay, I think we'll be okay.
Okay. So we just have a few minutes left. So in the last few hours of humanity, what do you think that – what is one thing that you think anybody listening to you should try to experience, see, hear, check out in the next couple hours of being alive? Rick?
Me? I don't know. I downloaded some Star Trek episodes to my phone to watch at work tonight, so that's what I'm going to be doing. So watch Star Trek.
I think that really you should go – check out George Takei reading 50 Shades of Grey.
That's hilarious.
I love him. He's so awesome. Oh, Cheryl, what do you think in the next few hours that people have left?
Well, I think if you're anywhere near Disneyland in Southern California, you should go check out Space Mountain.
Hey, Tanner's going to be down in Disneyland in the spring.
Fun! He's going to love it.
I know. Well, he's been before. He's been a couple times, but this time he's going with his friends.
They can stay with Cheryl and Chad when they're there, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Tanner will wear his red pants. His red skinny jeans, which I believe is a sign of the apocalypse.
Wow, I can't believe he bought those.
Oh, well, he's kind of nerd chic.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Imagine my child being a nerd. Can you believe it?
Hey, you say it like it's a bad thing.
You know what I've been noticing lately? Is like there's this groundswell of people interested in talking to Techie McScience Geek.
Oh.
So, Chris Davis says something about having him on his show. And then when I was on, I did somebody's show. I did a show like last Sunday. I was interviewed on somebody's show. And I mentioned my husband, Techie McScience Geek, and he said, oh, well, he should come on, too. So I told Jim the other day, I think last night, I said, you would not believe, there's, like, a bunch of people who are, like, interested in talking to you now. I've made you into a celebrity.
He's got a fan base.
He has a fan base. People dig Techie McScience Geek. Hey, so do I.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, wait. Okay, so what is Chris? Chris is going to break up the Doctor Who videos and end the world that way, watching Doctor Who.
If I was going to watch anything other than Star Trek, it would be Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
David Tennant and Paul McGinn.
So, what do you guys think about my whistling ghost? Have you ever heard of something like that before?
No, I haven't.
It was really strange, and we would whistle, and it would whistle back. And wherever we were in the house, it would be from a different spot in the house. You could follow around the house where the whistle was coming from.
You sure it wasn't somebody had a cold and their nose was...
No, because it was responsive. It was not somebody's nose whistling. Oh, Elaine says she's gotten laughing ghosts.
Laughing ghosts, yeah. I mean, I've had ghosts swearing their heads off at me before.
Well, yeah, I swear my head off at you. Not on the air, usually. No.
Sometimes, folks, she will call me up in the middle of the night when I'm at work and just unleash a stream of swear words.
Nobody would ever believe you because I'm so sweet.
I could see it.
I'm hoping.
Okay, apparently I'm not nearly as sweet and beloved as I thought I was.
I'm just waiting one of these days for, like, that drunk call from one of you guys, and you're like, hey, Rick, you suck! Click.
Drunk dial.
Yeah.
I think that this echo that we're having is a sign of the end of the world.
Oh.
Well, it could be because of that, you know, alignment out there.
Yeah, interference. Where's it coming from?
Something that's happening thousands and thousands of light years away is somehow having an effect on our planet.
Oh, shoot. Well, so we just have a few minutes left, and I just want to tell you that, you know, we're all going to die, and we're all going to wind up in the same place together. And I don't want you to think that just because we knew each other on Earth means you think you can come up and talk to me because I'm better than you. I just thought that was way better than everybody else's. I love you, man.
All right. I know that's from a movie. What movie was that from?
What?
That line you just said.
I love you, man? It's from a Budweiser commercial.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, haven't you seen all these people are posting, like, on Facebook, and they're saying, you know, well, if the world does end tonight, I just want to let you know you all mean so much to me. I so badly want to post. I just want to let you all know that I don't know who most of you people are. But that wouldn't be nice.
No, it wouldn't.
No,
I just lost so many Facebook friends.
You know what, though, Karen? At least you were able to unleash that one F-bomb on the air. I'm still, you know, not going to do it.
Wasn't that awesome? It was.
That was awesome.
It was awesome because I was shocked. You never
did
do that.
Did you see that Samuel L. Jackson last Saturday unleashed an F-bomb live on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, but unfortunately, that, yeah. We're on the West Coast, so they bleeped it.
Oh, it wasn't bleeped in our West Coast feed?
Are you serious? It was totally bleeped in ours.
Wow, Elaine just gave me the secret meeting place. Okay, Elaine, I'll meet you at Wellington. Oh, God, now it's not a secret. Don't come up to me at Wellington and think that I'm going to act like I know you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm a snob.
I am a snob. It's about time people know that about me. Oh, my God, I'm never... Now I've lost Facebook friends. If the world doesn't end tonight, I'm screwed.
Oh, yeah.
But at least I won the last
EVP game.
Yeah, you win. I give it to you.
I won for all eternity. And really, that's all I needed to do was know
that matters.
I won for eternity and that I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah, it's better to fade out than, or what is it, better to zone out or fade away? What is it saying?
That's not it.
I have no idea.
No idea.
What the hell am I talking about at this
point? I don't know, but coming up in just a few minutes, you will be listening to Fox City's Paranormal Radio. And Cheryl, did they happen to tell you who their guest was tonight?
Why, yes, they did. Their guest is Chris Rutkowski, a.k.a. the UFO guy.
Okay, well, so stick around and listen to some UFOs. Or, you know, it's a good way to spend the last night of the world.
And if we do happen to be back next week, we will be talking to David Jones of Project Paranormal right here on Paranormal Underground Radio.
On Z Talk Radio. So, thank you, everybody. We hopefully will be back. You guys realize I'm kidding, right? We will be back next week.
We do.
Paranormal Underground
you
Radio.
You don't know that.
Talk Radio. Oh, I kind of know. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the what, Rick?
In the beautiful and great state of Illinois.
Flyover states.
What about the East Coast?
All right.
Did you say the East Coast?
I said 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
I've got my pattern memorized.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget it because I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
I am, I know. All right, everybody, have a good end of the world. Enjoy your end of the world party, and we'll talk to you next week.
Woo!
Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Good night.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it off an ox, speak grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down, high wire in a fire. Represent.
fine.